Broadcasting from the Prime Meridian Bank Studios in the capital city of Tallahassee, this is Front Row Knowles with Tom Block and Keith Jones. Front Row Knowles is brought to you by Hobson Chevrolet of Cairo, Georgia. Get your best deal the Hobson way.
Good day, everybody. We welcome you to Front Row Knowles. Tom and Keith with you on our new home. Thanks so much for tuning in. KJ, how goes it?
Well, it has been a very eventful weekend for positive and sorrowful reasons. But yet school starts next week for the university level. And we've got a number of teams that are starting action very shortly, including women's soccer. So we're kind of all over the gambit.
We will talk some women's soccer. The Knowles, so close to a title a year ago, will be joined by one of their star players and an Olympic gold medalist coming up later in the show. Also, Bob Ferrante next segment with the latest from the FSU football practice fields. I feel like we've spent a lot of time talking about Coach Bowden the last few weeks, Keith, and rightly so. We won't do so for a long period of time today, but any thoughts you want to share after catching up with many of your former teammates and going to the services for Coach Bowden over the weekend?
Well, their two overriding themes were, number one, it was not a weekend of sorrow. It was a very upbeat, positive weekend. I think that was reflected in the service at the Tucker Center, and it certainly was reflected in all the conversation I had with fellow teammates. And secondly, just the recognition that the wins on the field are very important, but the relationships that were fostered and the example of the ultimate relationship, i.e. a coach with a player, as exemplified by Coach Bowden, I think that is something we all will walk away from this weekend reinforced and knowing. We all knew it, but it's just reinforced and knowing that it continues on and on and on.
Yeah, it was you put that very well. We spent a lot of time recently talking about it, but it was not the reason you want to call it a special weekend, but a lot of great stories over the last couple of weeks about a great, great man who passed away at age 91. All right, Keith, I want to update our listeners real quick. Many have been with us for a long time. Some obviously are new here on, well, we're the new guys, I guess, to Real Talk. So the listeners here may not be new, but subscribe to our podcast if you haven't done so already. Those of you who've been with us via the podcast and our former station, I can tell you that we got all the bugs worked out. And so refresh your Apple podcast feed. You'll find us there. And we're also, Keith, I'm going to quiz you on these and see if you can recite them back. But we're also on Pocket Cast, Castro, Google Podcast, Acast, Stitcher, Amazon, and Spotify.
We're on all of those things. We're on all those things our good friend and colleague Cameron is doing for us. So if I have any questions, I go to Cameron about it. And not the guy that follows us in the 1 to 3 hour on Real Talk 93.3, the real Cameron.
Yeah, not Jeff Cameron, another Cameron. We appreciate his help. Keith, it was revealed or reported over the weekend that the ACC and Pac-12 and Big Ten are talking about a strategic alliance to counter the mighty SEC. What think you of such a partnership?
That is a code name for what we've talked about for several years now, where you mimic what basketball has done with the ACC Big Ten Challenge, et cetera, et cetera. This is a scheduling move. This is not necessarily a sharing of revenue per se, but this is how to have a game or one or two games additional in your schedule, you know, within the 12 that are allowed. And get the opportunity to see some matchups you wouldn't normally see that get arranged by other than the individual schools and the individual athletic directors. That's what my take is on it.
I think there's also a chance to vote together as well on issues that come up, maybe related to the playoff, maybe related to new NCAA legislation. And candidly, even though I've railed against it, the Big Ten and Pac-12, if it goes along a voting block, they now have somebody else to vote in favor of keeping the Rose Bowl right where it is and doing all that sort of thing. So, but you're right. The Athletic had a really good story. And basically what it said, Keith, and we know this is why the SEC's gotten as much money as it has. It's got more games that people want to watch, a lot more than the Pac-12 and the ACC. So if you're the ACC, it doesn't do a whole lot to add a conference game. And now North Carolina is playing Boston College because nobody wants to see that. But if you add North Carolina against UCLA, that might be a draw and add some revenue both for the Pac-12 and for the ACC. So I think you're right. That's the thought process here.
Exactly. And where it goes, we don't know. And it may also be a precursor to the other macro thing that we've talked about, which is four major conferences instead of five. And so you may, over the next short time, figure out that you're really aligned well with this school, that school, or the other school, and we can get to those four super conferences. And again, not to belabor the point, we'll take some time, hopefully, and spend a little more time in research. But, you know, this NCAA committee that's looking at structural changes, don't discount that. There's going to be some very significant change as a result of those folks getting together, because the NCAA has to change, or it's going to be a non-starter.
Keith, we'll get to Bob Frantier, Osceola Insider, talk a lot of FSU football next segment. But if you notice, the AP poll was released on Monday, the preseason poll, and Florida State plays five teams ranked in the top 14. So they certainly will have opportunities this year.
You know, there's a train of thought that says, you know, during the dynasty years, you wouldn't have had the opportunity to have the dynasty if you hadn't played the significant games you play. So chicken and the egg, do you schedule the games first, or do they just happen, or do you get good and then try to schedule them? I don't care. It's an opportunity, despite what the naysayers would say, it's an opportunity to play good competition, measure where you're at. That's what built Florida State. That's what's going to build it back, in my opinion.
Including a big opportunity right out of the gate against Notre Dame. That's Sunday night of Labor Day weekend. There are tickets still available, so I'll remind our listeners, just go to seminoles.com/tickets for information there. Really want to pack the place for that game against Notre Dame. And, of course, you can get information about the rest of the home schedule as well for Florida State, but certainly an imposing schedule. Good opportunity for Mike Norvell and company. Okay, an Olympic gold medalist will join us on the show. Bob Ferrante from the Osceola is up next. We are just getting started. He's Keith. I'm Tom. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is Front Row Knowles.
Front Row Knowles will continue in a moment.
Some battles are worth fighting. They build character and teach important lessons. Other times, the more we resist, the longer we stay stuck. When a simple change would change everything. Is your bank holding you back? Try my bank, Prime Meridian Bank. Changing is easy. We'll show you how. Prime Meridian Bank. Tallahassee, Crawfordville, and on the web at trymybank.com. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Bob Hobbs. We're always talking about getting your best deals, your best trade, and your best financing. But with these challenging times, we wanted you to know, if you can't make it in, we'll even bring the car to you, and we'll appraise your vehicle at your home or business. And for all our service customers that can't make it in, we'll pick up your vehicle, get it serviced, and bring it back to you. We just want to make it easy to do business. We appreciate our customers and want to say thank you for your business. So whether it's sales or service, come by and see us or check us out at HobsonChevrolet.com. Buy and service your vehicle the Hobson way.
Front Row Knowles is presented by Hobson Chevrolet of Cairo, Georgia. Get your best deal the Hobson way. Now back to Tom and Keith.
Welcome back. This is Front Row Knowles. Thanks for tuning in. Our new home of Real Talk 93.3. We're joined by our Osceola insider, Bob Ferrante. He has dialed up that Earl Bacon Agency hotline, the Earl Bacon Agency, ensuring your future together. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Bob's very busy these days, Keith. He's joining us from his car. He's got his seatbelt on. He's not driving, however, as he chats with us, so we appreciate his time. So the first scrimmage is in the books, Bob. What did we learn?
I think there's reasons for optimism with this team for sure. I also think there's a lot of areas where there's some significant improvements going to have to be made. And that's what I think we have to kind of take a realistic viewpoint with this team. I'm kind of falling in love with the defensive backs. And I think that's historically been a problem that we've maybe had. We've seen been maybe had too much enthusiasm for that group, but I just see a lot of depth and competition there. And then also, you know, on the offense, a lot to like with the running backs. You know, the coaches have really been praising Jayshon Corbin, and I think you can see why. You know, Corbin looks like he's fully back, almost 2 years out from that torn hamstring. And, you know, there's a lot of things he isn't. He's not Dalvin Cook and he's not Cam Akers, but I think he can be a number one tailback. And when you put some complementary pieces around him, Lawrence Toafili looks like a receiver often when you see him downfield and the way he takes hits and secures the ball. So there's a lot to like. There's also still a lot of things that they've got to work on, you know, with coming weeks before the opener.
I guess we've come to the conclusion, even though nothing is said about it, that we won't know who the quarterback is until, oh, I don't know, 55 minutes before kickoff, maybe.
I still think Coach Norvell is going to put two guys out there. I mean, whether it's, you know, McKenzie and Jordan or something like that, something crazy. Honestly, I don't know how you view it right now. I mean, if you're looking at it through the lens of what guys are doing on the field in these practices, and the scrimmage has been closed, so I'll put the asterisk there. I think Jordan Travis has looked better than McKenzie Milton. Jordan's arm strength is definitely there. It would appear mechanically he's better. Strength and conditioning has certainly helped him. He throws a really nice downfield pass. It's definitely improved from last year. This isn't to knock, you know, McKenzie at all. It's just saying through the early part of camp, I think Jordan has looked quite good. How do these scrimmages look? How do the coaches feel about it? Do they want to have wrinkles for Jordan but have McKenzie as a starter? I think there's a lot of things to consider as far as all that. But to go back to your original point, no, I don't expect Mike Norvell to make an announcement. I don't think it's going to come until very deep into game week. Maybe we don't even know until we get to the stadium on that Sunday night for Notre Dame.
Marcus Woodson met the media on Tuesday after practice, Bob, and you commented on the DBs and the fact that we've gone several years now and we've looked at the athleticism there and thought, man, they're really strong there. And then it hasn't translated onto the field. It sort of goes back to what Mickey Andrews said at Bobby's service the other day, which was, and I'm paraphrasing, but I think what he said is it's not the 11 best football players. It's the 11 guys who play the best football together or something like that. And that would hold true, I think, for the guys in the secondary too. Are you optimistic about, because he was pretty effusive in his praise about many parts and pieces back there when he spoke to the media.
Yeah, I think he's seen progress, you know, from his arrival. So he's seen them since, you know, what, December, January 2020. And even through COVID, I think he's seen who has grown, who has improved. They've started to look at which guy is a corner versus a safety, you know, as far as moving Akeem Dent to safety. They feel like that's a better fit. And he's a guy who's kind of played a little bit of both from high school and college, for example. I think you've got a lot of veterans. You've got all these transfers from, you know, Jamie Robinson, who can be a safety or nickel, to Bam Moore from UCF. Jarquez McClellan has been fitting in well at safety. Some young kids like Jarvis Brownlee, they're very high in Brownlee, and I think he could be all-conference caliber. And Travis Jay is as athletic as anybody that you see out there on the football field. You know, a guy who could almost play offense. He's that good of a playmaker, but they're going to use him probably more at corner than safety, but also fit in that punt return. There's just too many guys to name, but I think that's what's great about it is the level of competition is going to elevate everybody in that room to the point where you're pushing each other and you're going to make the team better, you know, throughout practice and then leading up to game day too.
Bob, not a lot of conversation that I'm hearing, at least, about what's going on either side of the line, either the offensive lineman or the defensive lineman. There are those that would say that that's a good sign, that they're making progress, that they're not talking about things going poorly. There are others that would say if they were doing really well, there'd be a lot of people talking about them. What camp do you fall in?
You know, I think we've had this discussion in past years and we kind of fell into the trap of, you know, the defensive line was really dominant a year ago. And we wondered, you know, how good was Marvin Wilson and Corey Durden and all those guys. So now it's, you know, where do we stand on it? How do we gauge the level of competition they're going up against every day? I'm kind of the opinion that we're really not going to know until the Notre Dame game when it comes to the defensive front. They're, they look good. I think they're battling. Those one-on-ones with, say, Jermaine Johnson against Robert Scott have been really entertaining, for example. So I think there's a lot of growth to be had, but the answers to me just don't formulate until you get them in scrimmages, which unfortunately are closed to the media and the fans. And you don't really get a great picture until you really see them in a game. It's kind of hard, I think, to get a good eval of offensive and defensive linemen at this point. That's kind of unfortunate because those are kind of the two position groups that we're extremely curious about. But I think it's also just the reality of where we are in camp.
It feels like they like the depth they have on the defensive side of the ball better, maybe than certainly the spring and maybe last year. I mean, Kier Thomas has come in and has reportedly played well. Dennis Briggs has gotten some shout outs. Now, again, to your point, we don't know till we know. But it seems like I'm hearing more names than just Jermaine, which we kind of went into this camp thinking that's all we were going to hear.
Oh, I agree. And I think they're happy with Kier Thomas. He didn't get to practice in the spring, for example. And when you've got a sixth-year guy like that, you're kind of curious, is he an option? What's he going to do? Can he slide inside? Can he play the outside too? And it looks like he can. It looks like he's got some versatility for them. I think I'm kind of liking what they have up on the defensive front. It's not, again, let's not convince ourselves that there's a Timmy Jernigan there, but they've got some guys who can be productive. You know, Fabian Lovett, Dennis Briggs. Coaching staff is really happy with Jarrett Jackson. That was a name that we just hadn't, heard too much about since he transferred from Louisville right about the time that Jordan Travis came too. And they feel like Jarrett Jackson can be in the rotation if you're kind of looking at finding – roughly four defensive tackles between those two positions. So I think if you're looking for themes out of camp, it's finding depth through competition and it's building. So those are positives. It's just how do those guys start performing against other teams down the road?
You mentioned that there hasn't been observations by media and or fans, but in the scrimmage Saturday, FSU did release some highlight tapes. There appeared to be a few catches on the outside, at least.
Yeah, I'm trying to also measure those expectations of the receivers too, because we've seen, candidly, too many drops. And it's not just one guy, it's a lot of guys. But we've also seen some really improved receiver play. A couple examples, like I think Kentron Poitier and Malik McClain have had really good camps. Keyshawn Helton has become kind of the leader in that group. And he's kind of taking these younger guys under his wing. He seems like a leader, not just at receiver, but on offense. And we're seeing, I think this is a group still kind of in flux. It's younger guys who just haven't had enough time on the practice field, as well as some older guys who, let's be honest, Ontario Wilson is a nice piece. He's not a number one receiver. He's kind of a complementary piece. I think if he can be that consistently, that's a good thing. Andrew Parchment, does he look like a number one receiver yet? I think that answer is no, but where will he be in a couple of weeks once his conditioning is all the way there and he's kind of used to the heat and the reps and the tempo of what they're trying to do? He's not quite there yet, but can he get there? That's a big storyline, I think, to watch. There seems to be some improved moments, I think, from the receivers, but my caution still is we're seeing too many drops and some pre-snap penalties, not just with the receivers, but at other position groups too. And I think those are kind of big question marks moving forward here.
Bob, let's switch sports in our final couple of minutes here. You were out at the soccer pitch on Tuesday, Mark Krikorian's team, so close to a national title last year. And we're going to talk soccer with one of the stars in our next segment, but what's the general mood thought going in? It seems like they have an awful lot of familiar faces back this year.
Yeah, they've got just about everybody back from the spring, with the exception of McFarlane, one of the key players, I think, on that roster, Kristen McFarlane. Of course, Malia Berkeley went pro, I think, in November, December, and wasn't part of the spring season. But they've got, it's kind of a typical Mark Krikorian team. A lot of veterans at every level, a lot of good experience. One of the things he talked about was just trying to give the girls about 3 weeks off over the summer, because there wasn't a huge gap between, playing in a NCAA tournament in May to getting ramped up for August camp. And you know, Krikorian doesn't exactly schedule soft. I mean, starting off with a top 10 opponent in Texas A&M, and I kind of asked him, you know, why do you do that? Why do you have that confidence just to jump right in? And his attitude is basically, why not? You know, what good do some of those, you know, let's call them cupcake opponents, do for you? And I think that's really admirable that you're going to kind of dive right in right away and jump in and play, you know, some of the top teams in the country.
That opener is on Thursday against Texas A&M. Again, we'll talk soccer next segment with an Olympic gold medalist who's also a national champion player with Florida State. We'll introduce you to her momentarily, and we'll say adios to our Osceola insider, Bob Ferrante, for now. Bob, thanks for joining us as always, sir.
Take care.
I'll remind our listeners, you can subscribe to the Osceola, log on to theosceola.com, just $6.95 a month for that subscription. Lots of good information about all things Florida State. Keith and I will take a break. We'll come back with more Front Row Knowles right after this.
Front Row Knowles continues after this.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your local independent Auto Owners agent is the Earl Bacon Agency. Call us at 878-2121 or visit us on the web at earlbacon.com.
Some battles are worth fighting. They build character and teach important lessons. Other times, the more we resist, the longer we stay stuck. When a simple change would change everything. Is your bank holding you back? Try my bank, Prime Meridian Bank. Changing is easy. We'll show you how. Prime Meridian Bank. Tallahassee, Crawfordville, and on the web at trymybank.com. Member FDIC.